Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is this, I'm tripping. November.
Absolutely tripping.
I'm speeding right now. November, what, this is like 18? No,
19.
Okay, shit. Damn, man. Yeah. So as we always
Thanksgiving
say,
Thanksgiving is next week.
That's what we say every year. We be like Thanksgiving, and you know, Nye's like Nye's.
But Thanksgiving
already,
is not, literally
but
next week.
But Nye year's over.
The year's over. The year is over.
But Nye, it's already February, nigga. Like
Nye be saying that shit in April.
April, the year's over.
It's March. April, the season change. Year's over.
Year's over. July 4th and it's Christmas. It's done.
But it really feels like that. Like think about it. You come back. We come back from Essence. And then the summer's Then the summer's over like 3 weeks later. And then you're already in September. Then it's Halloween. And then it's Thanksgiving. And then
how's summer over 3 weeks after Essence?
Let September gets here a year ago.
That's some black ass New York City shit right there, nigga. When I can't go to the park no more.
Exactly. When I get back from Essence, it's fall. Oh, shit. Well, happy holidays to everybody, you know, listening and shit. I mean, you know, it's the year is, you know, pretty much over, closing up mighty fast right now. You know, we want to say peace to everybody. You know, we'll kind of be saying more of that stuff later on. I don't want to jump the gun too much right now. But how y'all doing?
I'm good, man.
Yeah, I'm feeling really old. My back is bothering me. And I don't know, my couch is too soft. Like, I feel really, really old right now.
You fall asleep on your couch a lot? You think that's
I
what
do.
It is?
I do. I fall asleep on my couch a lot, and I work on my couch a lot. And I'm not sure what I've been doing the past couple of days, but right now my lower back is really not fucking with me. I hate it.
Damn. Yeah, I did some grown-up shit today. I went and bought a dining room table.
Look at you. Are you hosting?
Yeah, I'm hosting, so I didn't really have an option. I was going to get niggas some paper plates.
Sit on the floor. Sit with them TV trays.
Or them TV trays. Hey, man.
Falling all over the place.
Them TV trays did niggas a lot of good back in the day, boy.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I still have TV trays. I believe in TV
trays. Oh, no. I have them.
I'm going to buy some.
Yeah, I definitely keep them, especially for the man cave.
Mm-hmm. I had a set, like a TV tray thing with the chairs. You could lift it up in the middle. Shit. Remember the metal TV trays, though?
My Aunt Pete, man, my Aunt Louise.
Yeah, the metal joints?
Like the floral
the metal joints.
Yes, with the floor pattern on them.
No, all that.
Oh, my God. Woo! Man, I'm sorry for y'all who didn't get a chance to experience that, man. Those was Thanksgiving. It'd be 80 people in the house.
80 in an apartment.
An apartment.
And one heat, TV.
And the heat. One TV and the heat blasting.
Kids be aggravated by 7:30. They fight each other.
Word. Mad, just angry, just all over each other. But then later on be like, Mark, I spend the night. Oh, man. But we're going to get into a little more Thanksgiving shit later, man. I wanted to start the show on kind of a upbeat note. Every year for me, in the last, I guess, what's it, maybe 5 years or so now, maybe a little more. Now you probably would know better than me. Soul Train Awards has been coming on this time of year.
It's 2009.
In 2009, so you're 10 years now.
That's when BT bought it.
Okay, so I remember when it first was started, they would show it I think it was the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like kind of like ending that thing, which I think was great. I don't know why they changed it
because they broadcast it live this year.
Oh,
and you're not gonna
because usually they tape it. That's
there.
Right.
They usually tape it like 2 weeks in advance
and then
you're not
show it.
Yeah, out there for a live taping.
True, the week of Thanksgiving. Yeah, but I just thought that for programming wise, it was great because you know, I mean, I guess everybody, but as always, we only speak for the blacks. Sunday night after Thanksgiving, everybody's home.
Yeah.
Because people got to go to work the next day. You had a long weekend. You're tired. So it was great programming because everybody was home to watch. You know what I'm saying? It was like, was nothing really on at that point. Maybe a straight football game, maybe, but you know, kind of was nothing in the way for people to watch. But so I'm very curious to see what the ratings will be this year.
Yeah, I haven't looked today either, but
it was trending on Twitter for what it's worth.
It was trending, but this has also been the Soul Train Awards have always been a ratings leader for the BET networks, but in the past couple of years they've given it like the BET Awards treatment, meaning they've simulcast it on all the Viacom networks.
Oh, I didn't know it was simulcast on other networks.
And they've moved, yeah, because for a long time it was just because it was a Centric property first.
It was Centric at first.
It was a Centric property. That's why they bought it. They bought it and rebranded it to really be the Auntie and Uncle Awards because it was for Centric.
Oh.
But as people are starting to age out of the BET Awards, they realized that there was a bigger need for the Soul Train Awards. So this year they stopped branding it as like, well, now it's BET Her Presents. Now it was just BET Soul Train Awards.
Yeah.
But they've really been throwing like more push behind it. I saw them send a bunch of kind of younger influencers out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to expand the brand.
Well, they have a vested interest, not just in the award show itself, but also with the Soul Train show.
Yeah, because like American Soul is coming
American
back.
American Soul, yes. Season. Yeah, so.
In a couple of years, I know they're working now on a Broadway play as well. I think it's supposed to drop it. I heard it maybe 2021, or is that, am I wrong?
I've been hearing that for a couple of years now, though.
I'm good on that. Good on that. Niggas are not going to have me down there listening to MFSOB. That's going to be the only goddamn song they get clearance on.
Word. And doing the Soul Train line.
In the Schubert Theater.
I'm with it. One thing I think that was really interesting that has just happened in the last couple of hours that shows kind of the resurgence of the brand is that Ari Lennox went on a little bit of a tweet.
I saw that.
She's upset that she lost Album of the Year to Lizzo. And I just think, even though it's unfortunate that an artist feels snubbed, I just think it's great for the brand that
she wanted to win it so bad.
They didn't win the award. Because 4 years ago, them niggas might not show it up. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Remember, it might have been as late as last year when it came on. I remember Bro had like a real rant because the show wasn't getting support from the young cat, from a lot of people, and niggas was like not showing up. And so they definitely did and I don't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to say this real quick. They definitely did, like you said, a rebranding and you know, incorporated a lot of younger R&B artists along with obviously some mainstays and made it like a real
event. Also we have more young R&B artists, like actual R&B artists, like, you know, because Ro James and Luke James and them, they've been on Soul Train.
But
you know, now we have her, and now we have an Ari, and now we have a Summer Walker, and now we have, you know, Sir.
And Pink Sweats.
And Pink Sweats, who I like, by the way.
No,
like,
Pink Sweats is dope.
With the resurgence of R&B, and the continuation of this 90s nostalgic wave that everybody's on, like Soul Train Awards is right in the perfect pocket, especially with Tisha and Tashina as hosts. Like, it's
perfect. They're great hosts. They're awesome. Awesome.
I mean, I also want to say I think it's okay, like, to rant that you didn't win an award. I don't think she was being, I mean, listen, it sounded to me in her rant, and I'm not, you know, wildly familiar with her music, but it sounded to me like she kind of resigned herself to being a black artist, right? This is my wheelhouse.
Yes, you're right. You're right about that.
And like, if I can't do it here,
where do I
do it? Yeah. But also, you know, I thought she was a little younger than what she actually is.
How old is she?
She's 28.
Thought she was about 22, 23.
And that's 28.
Yeah, that's not old.
No, it's not old by any means, but I thought she was.
I thought she was lower 20s as well.
Yeah, and so there's something people have to understand is that this is also a television show, and you're also showing, you're selling ads, you're going out to pitch sponsorships. Who shows up matters. This was why my rent. This was a big
she
part.
She was
of,
there, and Lizzo was not.
And this was a big part of my rent before. Mm-hmm. The red carpet, the people showing up, that all matters. It Absolutely. Matters to the level of, you know, quite frankly, it's how they get the money.
Yeah.
It's how they get
yeah,
to
how
the
they
bag.
Get to, how you okay? get to the bread. Absolutely.
So that's and listen, I think it's okay to feel slighted. I think that we are okay. so used to, especially our generation, because we grew up with much more polished and refined.
Yes, the niggas always put the happy face on even when they was mad.
Yes. Yes. Right. Because there's absolutely instances where these motherfuckers wanted to go at each other's throat. Okay.
Oh yeah. And later on it comes out like this.
Yes, yes. And guess what? That's perfectly fine. It's mm-hmm. okay. You know what I'm saying? There was a little competitive edge, and she felt slighted. I don't think she was going off on the deep end. And, you know, niggas was making it seem like she was feeling entitled. And nah, nigga, she thought she won. She's not asking for fucking, you know, pop record of the year at the Grammys, right? Like, she's right. asking for something that's a very realistic goal, a very attainable thing.
With her so, people.
But there is also an element, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, it just is. There is also an element of resentment because Lizzo's a pop artist.
Yeah, and you know,
it's, that's I mean, okay.
Yeah,
that's, but,
I,
go yeah, ahead.
And you know, and I want to, you know, I mean, we're going to slide into something that I definitely want to come back to the awards real quick. But this has been kind of an ongoing thing. I mean, and I have a, you know, like Russ says, you know, like, be fair, I'm a bit biased in this because, you know, I know Lizzo and, you know, I ran around Atlanta a few times earlier on, and she was trying to figure out her new direction, which is obviously working out. So I'm a little biased, but it's been a bit of a backlash with her on Twitter and stuff with a lot of seeming, you know, black people because they feel like she is, like Ma said, they do consider her a pop artist. And
but
not
it's
a,
unfair to be mad at her for that.
I know. That's what I was about to say. It's totally unfair because, I mean, first of all, just as a person, and nobody would know this because you're from the meter, but she's like, you know, for what it's worth, she's black as fuck. Like, trust me, she's a Negro. You know what I'm saying? And all the way through, her kind of path to her earlier successes was definitely through the white gay world. They were kind of like the first people to kind of sign.
Right, but she was trying to get black looks, and yes. black people weren't yes. fucking with her.
Exactly, which yeah. is why, which is when you know they asked me in Atlanta, could you run her down and meet a couple of Missy and do some stuff because she was trying to get a black audience, and now she's made these big anthems and these big records, and you know, like I said, but it's still kind of a weird backlash. And let me just say this, and I'm talking shit because I don't know, I haven't any conversations, but I feel like Lizzo would have come if she could have. She's not the type of person that would blow something like that off. She might have just not been able to do it at the time. But it's very interesting how they kind of were trying to separate her from the pack. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Which I think is bullshit, honestly.
I do too, because there's room for everybody.
Yeah, A, there's room for everybody. B, we complain about appropriation all goddamn day. Niggas spent a whole year talking shit about Bruno Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a black woman, like if you listen to Lizzo's voice, you listen to her background vocals, even her arrangements, like there's horns and there's all kind of stuff in there. Like you cannot say there's not soul in that. Like you cannot
Absolutely
say
not.
Just because she got some pop looks, them shits is catchy. She's getting them sync checks. I'm not yeah. mad. I really think some of it is like
just hate.
She's a big black woman and she's not singing big black woman ballads, so yeah. you don't know what to do with her. I really think that's part of it.
Yes, and she plays the flute,
and
she's also very body positive, you know, like which yeah. I think a lot of black women, and black people, let me just say the women, men too, have an issue with the fact that this big black woman is not afraid to kind of like show her big blackness,
right?
You know, and not be kind of hiding or covering up or wearing waist trainers and all
that.
But
if she was out here being Vesta, they'd be fine. You know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. But we also can't complain because if a white woman was doing her music right now, we would also be hollering about appropriation if she was doing the exact same song. Okay. It just
what are you going to say, bro?
Last thing I'm going to say is I need to know why she ain't show up. Because that's important
yeah.
to me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Because if your angle is this is the audience that I'm trying to get, and this is the audience that I'm trying to play for, this is the audience that I want. I don't know how you don't go there, like barring you having a paid gig, like, yeah, basically on the other side of the country.
It felt like she was going to win. So Soul Train demo isn't exactly Lizzo's demo.
But my point is that if your thing is, I'm going after this particular crowd, we see that they're skewing younger now, right? Like, this is the, this seems to be the demo that she's looking to get. Mm-hmm. Right, we're in a bit of a transition with Soul Train as well, like we just said, right? Yeah, like we're shifting from our folks to you know kids that are a little more along Justin's age, you know, maybe 25, 26 years old. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I would be very interested in, because remember, man, that was a really big thing, like a lot of artists, man, they kind of initially showed up for Soul Train. And then the reason Soul Train kind of went away is because those big ass artists stopped fucking with it.
Well, because the Grammys and the other mainstream awards who had been shutting them out, which was the reason Don started the Soul Train Awards in the first place.
They started opening the door.
Started opening up to them. And
of course, niggas run through that. That white man's ice is colder.
Yeah, and originally Soul Train taped like a month after the Grammys or within a month of the Grammys. So people were like, I'm not doing both these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And then once the BET Awards came in 2001, which was just like a newer, younger, brighter, splashier version of Soul Train, and had a competitive edge over Soul Train, because the other thing about the Soul Train Awards is that it was syndicated. So there wasn't like a set night, set time that it was coming on. You know what I mean? Or a set channel. It depended on
Where you lived and
where
all that
you were. So you know, Don got edged out. And there was the year before BET bought it, there was no Soul Train Awards at all. We're lucky that BET like saved the brand.
So real quick before we move on, I just wanted to mention a couple of performances on the show. I really like the Cypher lineup. I didn't like the track that they were singing over. I love the lineup. They all are phenomenal vocalists. I just didn't like the track. I was like,
I love the voices. I mean, I think the
singing was phenomenal.
Right. Like, I think Lizzo's been on tour and she was in Europe as late as last Tuesday. So
yes, I'm saying she would have come if she could have. But anyway, the Cypher people were phenomenal. You know, the Soul Train Awards always has good performances all the way throughout. It was nice to see Keisha Cole singing again. It was, you know, Anthony Hamilton always kills it and all that. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is the first time I've ever seen Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis honored, like on a television like network for their work. I don't think I've seen that.
No,
they get a Grammy thing or something, like a BET thing?
Not Grammys, but the Soul Train Awards has honored them before, the AMAs or something. I've seen a clip of Janet honoring them with something before. Image Awards.
Okay.
Something. You know what I mean?
But it was great for them to get some more flowers then. Because they obviously deserve it.
More than deserve it.
And it was really good and interesting to see, you know, because time changes everything. One thing in particular, to see all those black folks, young and old, be so excited about Boyz II Men. Because there was a time when Boyz II Men had become the super pop phenomenon.
And we were all like, whatever.
That we was with the Jodeci. Niggas was like, I'm on the Jodeci. I ain't fucking with these niggas. So it's nice to see them. They looked at as corny. But it's like, as thing, like with Hammer and other people, time has shifted and people start to look backwards now like, niggas are actually dope. So it was good to see them. And they sounded great too.
No, they didn't. What that's called.
I thought one of them sounded good.
But that's called, but you always ignore it, is nostalgia. That's called nostalgia.
Well, I am a nostalgia.
That's why I know. That's what looking back and being excited is called.
Yeah, so it was nice. The lineup was crazy.
Sounded good, but Sean and Nate sounded like they couldn't hear themselves. It was weird.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I loved this. I loved Sherelle and Alex, your auntie and uncle.
Oh my God. So Sherelle and Alex are the original Bobby and Whitney minus the relationship.
Oh my God.
Alex is so cracky. Oh my God. Like, I don't
think Alex has, sweating like a pig.
I don't think Alex has no teeth in his mouth. I don't. Oh my, but I
looks like somebody just threw that hat on his head.
But I will always be here for them every day, all day.
Chirrell, oh yeah,
bodysuit was too tight. Like too it was tight just. They are really your auntie. I love them so.
Exactly.
Much. And you know what? The up. So for those who didn't watch, they split the Jimmy Jam and Terry tribute into two.
Yeah, it was
segments.
Two separate things.
It was a ballad segment, and I was overall really disappointed in the ballad segment because Jimmy and Terry have written some fire
monsters.
I was disappointed that New Edition didn't show up. Yeah. But I understand.
Maybe
like,
they're on. Are they on the road too? Maybe.
There's Ralph and Johnny are not fucking.
Well, yeah, they don't really mess with them now.
So
yeah,
they
yeah,
couldn't,
yeah.
And you know, and Jimmy and Terry did the Any Heartbreak album. So
Johnny. Yeah, it don't make no sense.
But there was a lot of other stuff they just saw. I was disappointed. And even like not that I expect Janet to come to Soul Train, but even like Janet's best ballads are Jimmy and Terry.
Yeah, of course.
You know, come back to me, funny how time flies. So I was a little disappointed in the ballad segment, but that up tempo segment
killed.
Was every, like bringing the SOS. I screamed
the SOS band
for the SOS band.
God bless that the dude SOS band with the dance moves.
Sean had to step away for a second. I wish he was here for this, but the time is still
the time was awesome.
Tightest bands.
It was awesome.
They are still one of the tightest bands.
Yeah, they're fucking awesome. They're
like,
fucking,
it's a party. But that's what I love about Soul Train. It's a party. It's a fucking party.
Oh, yeah. You saw I forget what song, but niggas was doing the electric slide. And
it's a party.
Yeah. And we can't forget, you know, they also did another one of the unofficial black anthems that plays at every wedding, cookout, you know, baby shower, whatever, which is... Optimistic Sounds of Blackness.
Yes, yes.
So it was great to see the Sounds of Blackness come
and
out.
The and the millennials love Optimistic. After
love it. Love it. They love it. Like, that rocks the party.
And Nesby was screaming.
Yeah, well, you know.
And was like, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm up in here. I might not get a natural TV look again, so I'm going, so I'm going for mine. But like you said, you know, Yolanda Adams, you know, getting her flowers was great from Kirk Franklin. You know, like I said, it's a super black show. And I just really enjoy it. I just really enjoy the Soul Train Awards every year. I love it. I have no complaints about the Soul Train Awards. I can't wait till next year to see it again.
Same.
What I want to bring up something, and I guess Brad jump in when you get back, but we haven't talked yet about Michael Bloomberg and his possible run for president, which feels to me like he might be it felt more gung-ho a week or so ago. And now it feels like he's like, oh, no. Like, he hasn't bailed out, but it just feels like, I don't know
that it felt more gung-ho a week ago. I think a week ago there was more news surrounding it because those were the deadlines for him to register.
The hot news of the other day.
There was more activity to talk about. Mm-hmm. I think the thing with Bloomberg running... I think that, and I said this on Twitter, I think it's really about Trump because I think that Bloomberg's on some like a hero for such a time as this. I think he feels like he is uniquely capable of fucking Trump's head up because
he definitely
Trump,
is.
Trump doesn't respect politicians, but he hates and fears Michael Bloomberg because Michael Bloomberg is actually a titan, like actually wealthy, actually a titan, and Bloomberg's already been the mayor of New York. So
Michael Bloomberg is one of the people that he's thinking of when he talks about that elite thing. And I went to better schools than them. I have a better apartment than them. He's one of those guys that basically used to clown Trump all the time. Like, you ain't got no real money, dude. Fuck up out of here. Like, there's a circle of super rich New Yorkers.
Basically.
Exactly. To them, there's a circle of super rich New Yorkers who... No matter what Trump does, they are never going to accept him.
Exactly. And my thing is, like, if Bloomberg can just throw Trump off, just fuck up his head a little bit,
I'm
for it. I have no intentions of voting for Michael Bloomberg.
No. But, and also, he's got Wall Street in his palm.
Right.
You know, which is obviously a lot. Not that he needs the money because he could pay for it out of his pocket, but just to have those kind of financial people you know, supporting him and, you know, doing things for him will help a lot. They're seeing that, you know, part of this is to kind of push back on Elizabeth Warren and Bernie possibly coming in and doing things to really take, you know, raise taxes and take more money from the billionaire.
But it's just still so stupid to me. Like, do you guys really need more? Like, you guys, you're not even going to miss it. It's so crazy. Like, you're literally not even going to miss it. But, and that's where Bloomberg is going to be hurt, because if you live in New York, even though I'll be honest, I voted for Bloomberg all three terms because to me there wasn't an alternative. And
there wasn't, and there wasn't.
The way Bloomberg actually won was he started as a Republican and then switched over.
Mm-hmm.
But his first year, he was a Republican, and I still voted for him because the Democratic candidate at the time, this guy named Mark Green, he did something shady.
Oh, Mark Green, he did something wild shady.
Yeah, he did something.
He had some momentum too for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he did something crazy. Yeah. Basically, yeah.
Guaranteed Bloomberg the win, because Bloomberg, like, yeah. I said, Bloomberg was a Republican and I voted
yeah.
for him.
Yep.
But if you live here, now looking back, you blame Bloomberg for the housing crisis we're in right now.
And stop and frisk.
Huh?
And stop and frisk.
Stop and frisk. To me, stop and frisk is Giuliani's fault. But I understand how people also hold Bloomberg responsible because he kept it going.
Mm-hmm.
But that started with Giuliani. But for me, it's like Bloomberg led immediately to the housing crisis we have right now because he made New York more palatable to, like, all these Euros and foreign folks wanted to come over.
And people from Wisconsin and whatever
that
are coming gentrified.
Well, no, I mean, to buy, like, these $3 million apartments that you only come to, like, once a year.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah, I have absolutely zero interest in voting for him for president, but I'm really curious to see how he would ruffle Trump's feathers, because a couple things are going on with Trump. For one, he changed his residency. He is no longer a legal resident in New York, and part of that is trying to protect his residence in Florida from any possible future tax seizure,
mm-hmm.
Asset seizure. And second, I think it's an attempt to hope he can get out of this 9th District Attorney General investigation.
Yeah, the Southern District is on his neck.
Which is not going to work. Mm-hmm. But also, I think because he knows, and he's been known, that when all of this is over, he can't come back here. Like, yeah. He'll be completely persona non grata. People already just barely tolerated him. Now, he'll be completely iced out, and his ego can't take that.
Yeah, he's getting booed every time he comes in and all that. Yeah,
this is his, like, I'm breaking up with y'all before you break up with me type
exactly.
shit.
Exactly.
But add that to, you know, put Bloomberg in the picture, and Bloomberg represents everything about New York that Trump has always wanted but never been able to attain.
Yep.
I really think it would get him off his game.
I do too. I agree. So, I mean, we'll keep an eye on that and see, because he hasn't formally announced it, has he?
No.
He kind of put his name
out. He's starting to do the tour. Like, he went to CCC, Christian Cultural Center, which is the church in Brooklyn.
To apologize for stop and frisk.
And it's like, you know, it's too little too late, bro, but whatever. But I'm willing to let him be in play just to see how it's gonna fuck with Trump.
So another kind of light and funny thing. Well, I almost call it funny because I guess it's kind of disrespectful. But have you been kind of following Delicious and Raymond Santos Dayton?
Not really any more than what we've been discussing.
Yeah. So just Raymond Santos, right? That's his last name, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Who was one of the exonerated five? Moved down to, he's been living in Atlanta for quite a while. I think once they got their settlement bread, he broke out. He has a clothing line, which I didn't realize was his, called Park and Madison. I didn't realize that was his clothing
with
line.
With all of their names on it? Yeah.
It was one, I know a guy, I don't know if he still is, but a guy was designing for them early. I don't know how the clothing line is doing. I'm not saying it's not doing well. I just don't know. And so in the last, I guess, month or two, things started popping up on Instagram of Ray and Delicious from Flavor of Love being together and dating. And so, like, the jokes is flying, that, you know, Delicious gonna get this nigga spending his money and blah, blah, blah. And you've also already seen them down, you know, in villas and in Mexico and you know, just the lovey-dovey shit. And, you know,
listen, she's showing him a life that he never imagined.
Yeah, she's saying, bro, you got all this money, spend some of it.
Right.
You know? You know what? I'm always a jackass, hopeless, romantic, but I hope it works out for them, bro. I mean, I hope it works out for them.
I mean, mostly, listen, Delicious could do with, like, a good man, you know?
Yeah, who's just going to be a good dude, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Not treat, you know?
Somebody who's going to be, like, really about her. Like, he's clearly like moon eye gaga.
Oh, gaga.
Over her.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always kind of liked delicious. Like, she never really seemed, when I watched Flavor of Love, she never seemed like super like skanky or thotty or, you know, even manipulative, really. She never really struck me. I'm not saying like, you know, she never struck me as like she was out trying to just like take somebody for their shit. You know what I mean? Like, she's a decent person.
Yeah,
like,
so, you know, I hope the kids make it. You know what I'm saying? I hope they make it through. Did you watch Real Housewives this week?
I did.
Okay, so did I. Mm-hmm. So Real Housewives of Atlanta, this is episode 3?
Yeah, episode 3.
This episode was good. I mean, good. An interesting episode.
Mark's an asshole.
What'd you say?
Kenya's husband's an asshole.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting there. So this was the first episode that we saw NeNe this season. I don't know if that was her being suspended on the low for a couple episodes because of the shit she did with the cameraman or whatever, but so she made her appearance. Her and Greg is in remission now, which obviously is great. And they kind of spinning it as
she's trying to redeem herself. She got a spiritual advisor.
Yeah, spiritual advisor and everything, you know, which I'm not believing. And even in the energy with her and Greg, again, you know, it's a very small sample of what they do, but it still felt to me kind of like Greg was. Not apologizing, but Greg was kind of like trying to be loving and romantic with NeNe, and NeNe's just still just kind of there. Like, yeah.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah, not like she wasn't fighting or yelling at him or anything, but she was just kind of like, whatever.
He's making her like jokes still, and stuff. She's also still centering herself because she even mentioned like she was about to start crying and she was like, I can't even cry because when I cry, they're going to say, I'm making everything all about me. But that just means like you're hyper aware of the cameras being there and you're hyper aware of like, you know what I mean? So she's on her own like redemption shit right now, but it's whatever.
Lydia. Yes, it's funny style. Before we get to, what did you think about the whole thing with Todd taking his daughter to the strip club?
I mean, she's 23.
But going to the strip club with your dad is my point. Isn't that kind of weird?
I mean, Todd's what, 22 years older than her? Todd's a mid-40-year-old
dad. He's a grown man, for sure.
Yeah, he's a cool dad. Like, I wouldn't go to a strip club with my dad. Dad was a square. But at 23, I was definitely in a strip club with men who were old enough to be my dad. You know what I mean?
It's just, they weren't your dad.
But also, the other thing is, like, we also have to remember that in Atlanta, going to the strip club, I'm eating some wings.
Yeah.
And there's a girl over there. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily in the private room, in the champagne room, or getting a lap dance or a private dance. Like, it's basically like you're going to a sports bar and there's some titties in the vicinity.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, but even that, all that being said, you see how Candy was kind of like,
get it. But we also know what kind of mother Candy is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm not, but also I do think that Todd being like, if my daughter's going to go to the strip club, she should go with me. I don't know if that's necessary. Like, let your daughter go to the strip club and do whatever.
Because that's not the same thing what people used to say, well, my kid's going to smoke weed rather than be in the house. Like, well.
No, just go, whatever. But if y'all are cool enough to go to the strip club together, I think that's fine. But I do think this is one of those situations where, again, we have to change our perception of what strip club means. Like, they could really just be there chilling, watching the game, eating some food, and maybe throwing a couple of ones.
Yeah.
Like, his strip club experience with his daughter, I'm sure, is very different energy than his strip club experience with
the homies. Boys. Yeah. And again, Eva with the whole buying the house thing, I don't know what that... Eva's just been very nasty this season. Like, man.
There's this conversation about Eva now where somebody was like, she's the nastiest housewife of all the franchises. And I was like, Eva ain't the nastiest housewife
by a mile. That's a stretch.
She ain't the nastiest housewife on Atlanta. She don't fuck with these women, and she doesn't really hide that she doesn't fuck with. I think that's the thing. Is her attitude very like, I'm better than? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I don't actually think her to be malicious. I think she just doesn't care enough about any of these girls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the difference. Like, she just has an air of, like, I'm better than y'all. Yeah. That's what that is, which is very different than, like, how Phaedra acts or how Marlo acts or how even Kenya acts sometimes or Nene.
But I've seen online that people are starting, and maybe it's a stretch, but I've seen online where her attitude towards the other woman, people are trying to attribute a lot of that towards colorism.
It's possible.
Especially when she said the whole little nappy heads comment a week or two ago.
But I've also definitely heard that, like, Eva is that person in real life. Like, that's why her and
Stink.
That's why her and
Lance
Gross didn't make it. Yeah.
Okay. And then lastly, but definitely not leastly, the main thing was Kenya Moore and her husband Mark. I forget his last name now. Shit.
Dooley, something like
that. Yeah, I don't even know if you said it actually, but he owns a restaurant here called Soka out in Brooklyn, which has been around for a little minute now. It's been pretty popular for a while now.
Dooley, something like that.
Yeah, it's been pretty popular. Out there in Brooklyn, he does a solid business. People, go there for brunch and, Friday after work, he's got a good crowd. So I've seen some people say, oh, he got with Kenya to help his business. And I'm like, not really.
Nah,
like,
he didn't need that. Especially he need that. Brooklyn,
he's here in New York, and Kenya's, it's not like old lady gang where you're going to walk in Soak and Kenya Moore going to be sitting there. She's not going to be there. Again, and he's had a crowd and he's had that restaurant rolling for a minute now. She does a little tweet or something, or maybe there might be some people who come from out of town who watch that might want to cut through there, but he didn't need Kenya to like save his business like at all. But anyway, so they're married, but they still live apart. He still lives in Brooklyn, obviously because his restaurant is here, and she's in Atlanta because her business and life is there. And we're not privy to any conversations they had, but they still haven't seemed to figure out, and now we find out, in real time that they're divorcing or in the process of separating, whatever. But I don't know how they thought this was going to work, number one. The whole, he's 1,000 miles away while you're basically a single mom.
I mean, I guess the conversation had been at some point, I don't think they ever plan to live in the same place, because I just think that's impossible to try to do in your mid-40s when, like you said, you're a
first. But then why get married then?
The baby. I keep telling you this was about the baby.
Get married though? Why get married if you have no plans of ever living together? Then just be
a couple. Because Kenya is obsessed with image.
Yeah. So she made
Kenya's a. Kenya's obsessed with image. Kenya
has. Why do you think he did it though?
Well, I know he has two other kids, but I really think Mark might be gay.
I'm not getting into that. I don't know. I'm not saying he is or isn't.
Yeah, you have, I don't know.
Yeah, something's pinging. Something's pinging for you.
Something is pinging. Okay. But I'm not going to say I have like sharp gaydar because I am not gay. However, well,
I will say this, and again, I'm not saying that man is gay at all. So please. Anybody who wants to, who comments on the Twitter and stuff about our podcast, which we love. Like, I'm just being clear. Like, I'm not saying that man is gay. And I don't know what's happened. So I'm like I always say, I'm talking complete shit. Right. But in this episode, the way he was treating Kenya was so vicious and, like, undertone, damn near hateful. It's like, dude, why do you not like her so much? Like
clearly
does
not like her.
Yeah, like, you don't like her at all. Like, it makes you go, like, do you like women, or is it just her, or is it like,
well, you know,
it was brutal. It was wild and uncomfortable.
I might be talking shit. Here's what I think. At the time that Kenya and Mark started dating, Kenya was not on the show.
True, yes, she was on that season.
She kept it low.
Very low.
She didn't go public until they got married.
Absolutely.
I think she might have promised to him that she was going to be okay with like a more low key type situation. Cause Mark has not really wanted to be on camera ever.
Yeah.
She said that, and he said that. And that was a problem with Bravo producers, that her film.
Yeah, you can't be married and the dude's not on the show.
Be part of it.
Yeah.
And I think that she realized that even with your hair care line, even with your whatever, the check comes from being on TV.
No question. It drives the boat.
I think he might be a dude that thinks that the reality TV shit is petty and silly, and ain't really fucking with it. That's
he looked like a nigga. Probably know. I would bet.
And don't want his business industry.
Yeah, I bet most of the money that I have, all 35 cents, they probably know Peter Thomas.
Right.
If you know, the whole Brooklyn thing, and I think he might also be West Indian, so he probably has some conversations, you know what I'm saying? And Peter's like, nigga, like, watch yourself, watch this, watch that, blah, 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 blah. You know, so he says, so he went into it salty. But all that being said, I'm just looking at it from a different perspective. It's like, you married this woman, the baby is on the show at the, it's like, what, 6 months, maybe 6 to 7 months old. Very, very young, right? This is your wife. This is your child. Like, and like, you come on the show and you treat her like shit. Like
damn, he don't give a fuck about her. He's just there for the baby.
He's completely ignoring her every time she's talking. He's just not even paying attention. He's talking to the baby. He's telling the baby, God bless the baby, doesn't understand what he's saying, but he's basically shitting on her to the baby, saying she's crazy, that she can't cook, that she, the house is a wreck. Like you live in like a dorm with no eggs. I'm like, God damn, fam. My thing is like, fam, you own a restaurant. Then you cook, nigga.
Right. I also think, I wonder if Kenya on camera is way more extra than Kenya off camera. And this is his way of kind of like being like, yo, when the cameras are around and you acting all extra, this is how I'm at. You know what I mean?
But like, I don't think she was acting extra on this week's episode. Really? She was in the house.
I mean, we don't know what all was called.
Again, we don't know what was called. Yeah. But it looked like, from what they cut anyway, that she was just happy to see him, happy that he came down, and just wanted to spend some time. And then the whole thing about when she's like, yo, you got a birthday coming up, let's me and you go away. And he's like, nah, I ain't going away with you. Like, we're bringing the kid. I'm like, damn, so you are doing everything to avoid spending any time with this woman. And she basically insinuated that when he does come every 10 to 12 days, they don't even have sex. Because he makes her put the baby between them. Which is kind of like, Okay, you don't even want to touch
her. You don't like her.
You don't even want to touch her.
But we also know that they're split now. So I would not put it past Kenya to have encouraged him to play this up so that the split does not seem surprised. Like, I wouldn't put it past Kenya.
You don't put anything past her.
I don't put anything past Kenya, ever.
I know that she's done some, you know, conniving things and all that type of thing, for sure. She is no angel. But just what this week anyway, those scenes, she genuinely looked like, what the hell's going on? She genuinely looked like, why are you talking to me? But she was trying to eat it. Because the cameras was there,
right,
she wasn't biting back. She was like, okay, Mark. Oh, Mark, you're so silly. But like, in her face, she's kind of like, nigga, why are you coming at me like this? Like, I'm just trying to make some breakfast and sit down with my family. And you fucking, it just was very uncomfortable to watch, man. I felt bad for her. I really did. I really felt sad for her, because it's like,
but that's why I don't put it past her, because now that they're split, you know, her poster back to being like, you know, strong black woman, you know, I know I sound unfeeling in saying this, and I know I probably sound like I don't have any empathy, but again, Cynthia is a master of crafting a narrative for herself, especially when it comes to her relationships, and I just would not
mean Kenya.
Huh?
You said me and Kenya. You said Cynthia.
I thought I said Kenya. Sorry. Kenya is a master at crafting a narrative when it comes to our relationships. I just wouldn't put it past her to have, you know, talk to Mark and be like, I need everybody to feel sorry for me. I need everybody to want me to win. Like, to position her as like, now you guys got to root for me to rise from the ashes.
Yeah,
the victim, like that type of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, I always get confused. Do you watch Married to the Medicines or not?
I do not.
You don't? Okay, so I'll just get past it. It was a great episode this week. And you don't watch none of the own shit. You don't watch Love and Marriage Huntsville or Ready to Love.
I watched one episode of Love and Marriage Huntsville.
You said you didn't like it, though.
Huh?
You didn't like it, right?
It was alright. It was alright. I maybe need to watch a couple more to get pulled in. But it's like the whole episode with the couples arguing about some collective they had.
The comeback group.
Yeah, I lost interest in that.
Really. Yeah, yeah. But they've kind of moved off that, but. So I'll skip those because you don't watch those.
But I do watch 90 Day Fiancé. You need to get into 90 Day Fiancé, I swear.
Yeah, I know.
I swear, oh God.
It's awesome.
So good. It's so good. And there's so many of them. Like, if the Russians really wanted to fuck with us, they could really do it through 90 Day Fiancé, because there's four different shows in the franchise. Actually, five, because one of them is a recap show with previous couples from other seasons watching the show and giving commentary. Oh. That shit is hilarious. Because even the people who've been on the show think the show is crazy. But there's four different shows in the franchise. Each of them has at least four seasons.
So it's usually a lot. You just do a deep dive.
Every weekend. That's my whole shit.
It's a deep dive into that.
Oh, my God. I love it. It's amazing.
I'm going to get into that. Chick-fil-A ends giving money to anti-LGBTQ
organizations. Popeyes got
the,
one.
Do you think this is a direct correlation with the Popeyes thing?
I don't know that it's direct because I don't think that Chick-fil-A is losing any real business, but I think that it's becoming such a talking point in the climate is becoming such that they can't just hide behind Christian values anymore. And I think what happened was one of the organizations that they were giving money to was behind like this punishable by this being homosexual is punishable by death campaign overseas.
Damn.
I want to say in South Africa.
Wow. Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but I think it's in South Africa. Maybe not Nigeria, but I think it's in South Africa. But I think that might have been a tipping point for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, do you think this will make a difference in will this bring more business to them or, you know?
Well, I don't know because the thing is that, you know, even though there are Chick-fil-A's in New York, the majority of the Chick-fil-A is still in states where this is going to matter marginally.
Yes, that's my point. Like deep Alabama, deep, you know, Georgia, you know, Texas, Mississippi, like, Arkansas, whatever, like, right.
It might just be about corporate social responsibility. It might not even be about the bottom line. You know, they are a Christian-based organization,
mm-hmm.
Or Christian-based ownership, rather, and it might have come a point where they realized that the organizations that they were giving to didn't match up with their values. It might not be about the bottom line. Like, I joked that Popeyes has got them on the run, but it might not be about the bottom line at all.
Now, what do you think about, do you think they'll end up opening up on Sundays, or that's a no-go?
These two things are completely unrelated.
But I'm just asking, do you think, like, though, this is going to lead to more changes?
No, I don't think so.
They're never going to open on Sundays. That's just not happening.
No, that goes against, like, a more fundamental, like, you know, that's a whole different thing, like the day of resting. I don't think they'll ever do business on Sunday.
Yeah, it's just kind of like they go to church and that's just what it is.
Yeah, that's your thing. And also, like, I think they also feel like it's important to staff to know that there's, like, one day they have to themselves.
A day to kind of chill and, you know, relax with the family and all that. Did we ever mention real quick the whole WeWork thing?
Which part?
A few weeks ago, they got horrible, financial news to the company. They underperformed crazy. And then they fired 1,000 people today.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's
heavy. Fired 1,000 people. The people who clean and maintain the buildings. They fired nearly 1,000 people in the U.S. and Canada. On December 9th is their last day. They're being offered jobs at different companies and all that. But, I mean, from what I've read, and I haven't read extensively on this, so, you know, excuse me if I'm give out any wrong information. But they did what a lot of companies do, is that they just overexpanded too quickly.
Yeah, They blew up really fast, and I think their valuation wasn't real, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
And then, you know, eventually,
and the CEO resigned, but to, like, a huge umbrella.
Yeah, yeah, massive umbrella. And eventually, when your valuations, I wish bro was here because he knows this shit well, but when your valuations ain't real, like, eventually the shit comes out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then your stock tanks, and then people start to panic, and usually it tanks more. It takes more. And honestly, like, I just think, look, in concept, it's a kind of very millennial, new wave concept of people. You know, there's so many people now who don't go to an office every day and, like, would like to go have a place to kind of call a quote-unquote office. A place you can kind of go outside and go somewhere and sit down and maybe do a meeting or just kind of sit there with your laptop and get down on your phone and stuff. I get it. But I don't know how much you're going to dent Starbucks. Like, people still go to Starbucks for that. And other coffee shops, like, that are kind of set up.
You can't have a meeting. The thing with WeWork is that in addition to going with your laptop,
you do meetings and stuff. Yeah,
but you can also have like your own little kind of.
You're like a little room, a little section.
Yeah, belongs to you.
True.
That you can even have a staff in, and you know, there's you can have, they have conference rooms you can rent out. Like it really is a mobile office. I think one of the things that's fucking WeWork up is that on the higher end there's Soho House and Noi House. On the lower end, there are now these same kind of concepts that are like for women only, for Black people only. Like, there are more options.
Yes.
And WeWork doesn't offer like any special amenities that you can't get from one of these
other places. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It ain't like you come, you go, yo, you go to WeWork because their food is banging or whatever.
It's right. Like, or like WeWork offers this special. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a kind of, like I said, and for the people who don't have a bunch of money, you just go sit in Starbucks all day. You know what I'm saying? So
I want to clarify two things with Chick-fil-A. Well, now Sean's back.
Okay.
So there's two organizations specifically they're not donating to anymore. One is the Salvation Army.
Oh, wow.
Which is, well, Salvation Army has been coming under fire for anti-LGBTQ comments and for not, for a small amount of their total money actually going towards
helping people.
And also, like, there's been a lot under fire for them for the way they treat people in their shelters. And then to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which I've heard of before, but I didn't know they were a real organization. So one of the ways that they're changing their giving is that they're not just giving to faith-based charities anymore. That used to be their model.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will only give money to faith-based charities. So now they're only focusing on education, homelessness, and hunger. Yeah. Okay. So that's the difference.
Bro, we just mentioned how WeWork laid off, is setting to lay off on December 9th, nearly 1,000 employees, the people kind of, the maintenance people who kind of clean the places and everything, and how their valuation was shit, and how the company's just on a nosedive, you know?
Well, yeah, and the worst part about that particular situation is that those people do not get their 401k contributions.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
They're a Land-based company. I forgot about that.
So what they're doing is that apparently they have a policy that you, in order to receive your match and your benefit,
mm-hmm.
you have to be an employee at the end of the year. Thus,
December
9th.
Yes. So they're basically cutting them off before they have to make that contribution. And, you know, look, unfortunately, these are the decisions you have to make when you have a business that's hemorrhaging cash.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this is literally what it is. And I mean, you guys know I've sent that stuff to you. I always thought it was kind of weird. And again, you know, I've always said that I didn't go to anybody's business school, and I'm not like this.
I don't know nothing about your fancy book learnings.
Yeah, I don't. Right. But guess what? I know. I know when shit don't sound right. Okay. And a motherfucker making a business model that is based on subleasing.
Yeah.
Sounds crazy. It just sounds crazy. Right. Yeah. Like you have to understand that house of cards at some point
is gonna fall.
It gets a little shaky, especially as the world has shifted into, you know, leaner overhead.
Yes.
People are, you know, that's actually one of the, they're not the first part, you know, and you know, I'm not gonna go off on a tangent on this, but like, I've been in one of those shared spaces like that before.
And how was it?
It was cool. We used to have offices in Regis. You know what I'm saying? And Regis has location throughout the city. They have locations in other cities in the world. You know, you can, you know, get a conference room in Chicago if you need to. So there used to be a spot as far back as 2000 that had a shared workspace because I used to pick up from them when I was the FedEx guy.
Mm.
It was called Emerge. It was on like 9th and like 34th or something like that.
Okay.
So this is not a new... You know, this isn't a new business model. Shared workspace isn't a new business model, but the massive amount of growth.
They overexpanded way too quickly.
Yeah, but you know what? This is about all of these businesses and all of these sort of sudden billionaires are usually about, you know, basically they're about valuations, and the valuations are not always. It's the same thing I've said about Uber. I'm like, how does this continue to work because you're losing money on every ride.
Like, yeah.
You can't lose money on so many transactions and think you're going to make it up in volume. That just mathematically,
that's not the way it works.
Yeah, so
that's the way it works.
You know, I
had one quick question before you move on about WeWork. Do they own those spaces?
Some of them, yes. Most of them, they do not. They are leased. That's the point.
They're leasing from other people.
They basically have, they have like $40 billion of like lease commitments.
Oh, shit. I didn't know it was that high. Jesus.
Oh, Christ. Dude. They have entire floors in like some of the most expensive real estate in the world.
Damn.
They have entire floors that they have, you know, gutted, redesigned. You know, done their thing. You know, you make a commitment in New York City. I don't know about any other place. I know in New York City, very rarely you can get a 5-year lease.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those leases are 7 to 10 years.
Yeah, long ass time.
Very long term leases. And so, you know, like with any other landlord, right? Like the idea is that they have to kind of take what they can at a certain point,
mm-hmm.
because they're also extended.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't really know how this is going to play out, you know, overall. I mean, listen, there's no shortage of spaces in New York. And I think people will, the market will sort of peter out. Like it'll balance out at some point.
Mm.
And I think what you're seeing now is that you're seeing a lot of places that were using those were like annex offices. So it would be, you know, like a company in Chicago, but they do enough business in New York.
But they get a little WeWork space.
They get a little WeWork space, right? Just so you can go in, have your meetings.
Conference
call. You can function. You don't want to seem like a bullshit operation, right?
So yeah.
These are perfect places for that. It's a perfect place for, you know, if you're a young attorney, right? Like you want to have a, so it's great for that. But also, you know, there are a bunch of places that, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. There's mad options. Nothing
special about this.
Mad options. Yeah, yeah. Got to bring up Colin Kaepernick. Me and bro was arguing about this shit on Twitters. Now, are you up to date on all this, everything with Colin?
Was there new stuff today?
No, nothing new today.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. So, Kaepernick's been essentially blackballed from the NFL for the last 3 years for his stance and was kneeling. I'll say stance, kneeling, and his stance on black issues. To be fair, his last season at the Niners wasn't great. They were a terrible team.
That is factually incorrect.
Well, okay. Well,
I'm so glad you said that because I've been
arguing with niggas.
Yo, like because that has become
that's become
a talking head point. If you go and look at his stats, his last season, he played 12 games, 11 as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He was at 2,241 yards.
Yeah.
Like this is, you know, 60%, a 59.8% completion 60%. Percentage. 60% completion percentage, a 90 quarterback rating. Like the idea is that they have painted him as being this guy that fell off a cliff and could no longer play.
Yeah.
And because the team wasn't winning and
they blamed it on, it was easy to blame.
Yes. Them. And many of us are not Niner fans in the way that we, you know, we're not local to California, right? So we're not local to that area. So we're not getting that information. It's no different than how you and I would understand the Giants more, even though we're not fans, than a guy who's from Idaho.
Yeah, from Detroit and shit.
You know, yes.
Yeah. So he was basically essentially blackballed from playing football for the last 3 years. He gets a call a couple of weeks
ago. Let's remember that he settled with the NFL.
Yes, he settled with the NFL.
After suing them earlier this year.
For collusion. He gets a call, last Tuesday, saying, we decided out the blue to give you a tryout. You got to let us know if you want to do it.
A workout.
If you want to let us know if you want to do it in 2 hours.
Yep.
Like, about in 2 hours, you got to give us an answer. And the guidelines are you're gonna have to do it under basically under all our guidelines.
In four days
with no press, and you're not allowed to bring your own people in to film. So,
and you have to sign a waiver
that
says that you won't hold us responsible if you don't get an offer, which essentially people say
it's collusion.
Means that he cannot choose to sue them again for trying to block him from.
Yes, he can't. He couldn't sue for collusion. So he said him and his people read this and basically was like, well, we want a little more time. And NFL was like, now or never, fuck you. So he's like, all right, we'll do the workout.
Wait, let's also say, Jeff, sorry, that standard workout days like this is on
Tuesdays.
Because high-level team execs can't come on a Saturday because they have games on Sunday.
Yes, they have games on Sunday. So either you're traveling, and if you're not to the game, like you said, for the Sunday, and if you're not traveling on that Saturday, you're hunkered down regardless because you get the game plan together and, you know, checking injuries, everything that a team has to do to get prepared to play in the next 24 hours. So going to Atlanta from Detroit or, you know, Seattle, so it's just not, it's not happening. It's not happening. So right away you knew the fix and the jig was in. So he decides to do the workout, but they can't come to terms on a lot of things. He does not sign the waiver because his lawyers smartly realize what signing that waiver would mean, even though the NFL put it as like, oh man, just sign it, man. We ain't gonna, you know.
Yeah, the NFL tried to say it was standard, and the waiver has since been made public, and people who are familiar have said it's anything but.
It's not standard, and there's stuff in there that's not in the normal waiver. So he does the workout. And the other thing was, like I said, they didn't want any press, outside press, or anybody to film it. So I feel like that way they could totally control the narrative. Like they could say, yo, nigga wasn't good. Like we,
right, and
know,
that's
and, what, and we know way for us to
that's
know
what
because
Jeff Keane thought.
Yeah, of course it was. It's like they could come out and say he overthrew this, he underthrew that, he didn't look good. And like I said, if nobody's filming it, there's nothing to see. And the other thing which I feel is like there was supposed to be 25 teams that were gonna show up to the workout, but they were all kind of sent by the NFL. So they were not going to come in there and do anything against what the NFL was telling them to do. So basically it's like, yo, go so it looks good, but right. Don't really think you're going to be signing them, but we got to at least
act like. It was obvious that it was all optics from the beginning because there was no transparency. So they were supposed to provide the team with a list of the representatives who were going to be there, Caps team with a list of representatives who were going to be there.
Yes.
Then they said they never said they were going to do that. They would not tell Cap because Cap is a quarterback. He wanted to know what wide receivers they were supposed to be providing wide receivers for him to throw to. They would not tell him who they were bringing. So Cap flew out people on his own.
Yeah.
And then there was also the part about, like, not allowing his own team to film. So essentially the workout that he ended up doing was his. The NFL was involved.
He was supposed to work out at Flowery Branch, which is where the Atlanta Falcons practice facilities are. But, again, that's obviously under the NFL umbrella. He decided to move it to Riverdale, which is south of Atlanta, like a little bit south of the airport, and at a high school there, and did the workout there. So out of the 25 people from the NFL teams that were going to, so 25 teams of NFL people that were going to come, only 8 went to the workout in Riverdale. So right away, you know, the jig was some funny shit because it's like, fam, you're in Atlanta to see this dude work out.
Why would you not go?
Why would you not just go? It ain't like he moved it to, like, you know, fucking Texas. It's like, okay, just get on the highway, bro. It's an hour away.
And none of the people were decision makers for the teams.
Anyway, so obviously they got the word from the team and the NFL, like, if he's not going to do it under our guidelines, then, like, fuck him. So he went down there for him. All the counts, people who saw it, said he looked great. You know, there was a few things online. He looked great. He's in great shape. He still got a gun. He still, like, you know, can move around very easily, and you know, that was his game, being able to run and stuff, and throw on a run and everything. He did not take any questions from the press afterwards. He did a statement, but didn't take questions. And then here we go with the uproar, and it was crazy because what I noticed, and correct me if I'm wrong, for the most part, it felt like once the pundits and the talking heads started getting a hold of this shit, it was like there was this black pundits that to me are obviously under NFL, you know, rule, for lack of a better term, Stephen A. Smith, Tony Dungy, Marcellus Wiley, of course, Kunis, Jason Whitlock, basically get on TV dogging Kaepernick. But then the white guys, Max Kellerman, Dan Le Batard, there's a couple others that I'm blanking out on, were like for him. It was really weird how like all the black people were like, he bugged out, he shouldn't have did this shit, he should have just signed the waiver, he should have just done whatever he wanted, whatever they said to do. Stephen A. Smith started this whole he don't really want to play, which is retarded. A dude's been working out 5 or 6 days a week for 3 years. Now he don't want to play. That just doesn't make sense.
There's some old nigga shit, but Sean, I know you guys.
Yeah, go ahead, bro. Well, I just wanted to lay it out there.
No, that's fine. I mean,
please fill in whatever I left out.
Yeah, no, I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think we all understood that the NFL was doing this as a way to back him into a corner, right? Like, that's really ultimately what this is.
Hey, here go your little workout, nigga. Damn, shut up.
Basically, what it is it's no different than when Jesse and Al come down to one of the networks, okay, right, and they start picking it out front, and mm-hmm. then a couple niggas get some interviews, but, you know, it'd be, you know, they didn't hire Earl as a janitor, work 4 to 12.
Exactly.
Right. They ain't hiring no executive. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all for show, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
We understand this. I think, and I hate that I'm even remotely agreeing with Stephen A, is that I don't think Cap thought this was going to be a workout that would land him on a team. I think he has resigned the fact that he's not going to play in the NFL again.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't want to play.
No. I don't think Cap wants to play at this point. I think he is standing firm.
I think under optimal conditions, he would want to play football because he's a football player. Like, it's hard to say I can't ever do what I love again, but I think he's realized that him playing in the NFL is just not going to happen.
I think what he loves is being a part of the organizations and the things like that. I think he loves that just as much, though, right? Like, so I'm not dismissing what he says verbally, right? But what I'm saying is I think that he has sort of resigned. You know, it's like a background singer. Like, you know, you kind of resign yourself at a certain point.
I ain't going to get that record deal.
Going to get that deal, okay? Yeah. You're going to be Sissy Houston, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And either you're going to step into being Sissy or you're not, right? So I think that that's kind of where he is. And I don't necessarily think that that's a bad thing. What I do know is that it seems to me like in order for him to have a case, he has to maintain the air of being an NFL quarterback. I'm in shape.
Like, I could come back.
I'm working out. I can come back at any time. So you can't question my qualifications. You know what I'm saying?
Like, y'all are actively keeping me out.
Y'all are actively keeping me out. There is nothing objective about why I'm not playing football. Now, whether or not he gets signed to a team is whatever, right? Like, again, it seems to me like everyone here, there's a little bit of one-upsmanship on all parties. And I think that, listen, the reality is there are 32 teams in the NFL. And I'm sure that if the majority of those teams went to one owner and said, listen, give him an opportunity as a backup quarterback for $4 or $5 million a year, this goes away.
Mm.
Right?
Right?
Why can't they go tell somebody? Why can't he go to Cincinnati? Or why can't he get an offer at Buffalo? Or why can't they can make those owners do that shit? Green Bay owns the fucking NFL owns Green Bay.
Right.
They have a board of directors. Like, there's so many.
But we know why, bro.
I'm saying, yes, we understand. That's his point. That's what I'm saying. His point is he's standing in this now because this is a labor management issue. This is him defining that, yo, man, like, y'all are really keeping me out. There's no objective reason outside of my political views on why I would not be eligible for a job as a quarterback. There's none.
So if he had that, because one of my friends was like, one of my Twitter friends was like, I don't even know why he's entertaining the NFL. Like, he should have just skipped that shit. But to your point, Sean, my thing was, had he declined it, even if he had declined it on principle, there would have been a whole group of people out there who would have been like, he ain't ready. He can't do it.
And then guess what? And guess what? There's no lawsuit.
Right.
There's no collusion, because now you said you're not coming in.
Right.
Right? Like, that's what I'm saying. It's, again, it's like, yo, I want this job. All right, the interview is on Sunday at 4:30 in the morning.
Right.
Can you get there or not?
And you got to be like.
And guess what? If you say, if you saying, I want this job, guess what you're going to do? You're going to be there. Like,
he was Puff, there.
Puff made them niggas walk to Junior's to get some cheesecake, nigga.
And but what did they end up getting out of that? But that's a separate conversation. But he was there. But what I'm saying is, like, first of all, we gonna totally agree to disagree about the playing shit. I think he absolutely wants to play again. Like, there's no niggas working out 5-6 days a week every day, dolo, like at 4 a.m. that he don't want to play. I can't wrap my mind around that. I absolutely think he was. I do think that he understands that the odds of him playing again are low. That I agree with. But I do think if Cincinnati called him tomorrow, he's playing. He's going to be like, hell yeah, let's go. Yes. He's going to be like, well, I don't really know now.
I don't think that's the case. What I'm saying is,
you're saying
that
if the team called him tomorrow.
I'm saying him getting up that early in the morning and him working out is not just for football. That is also to keep the air of the collusion. He can't not work out. He can't not be out.
He's been doing it for 3 years, Sean. He's been doing this for 3 years. It ain't like he's been doing it for the past few months. He's been doing this since 2016.
I think this is, here's another thing that I just want to lay out as well that we have to understand. The reason that I think that this is also a big part of labor management is that the NFL is antitrust exempt.
Mm-hmm.
Which means he doesn't have
they
another
can do
place.
Whatever they want
to
do.
Yes, he doesn't have an alternative place to go earn a living in his country. Like, that's the
right, like, the arena league doesn't even exist anymore, does it?
I don't think it does, but that's not that's actually it's like the difference between Olympic wrestling and WWE.
Yeah, it's not real.
Right. You know, it's not, they don't really look at that as real. But again, I think, listen, I haven't agreed with all of Cap's moves. I think he's made some missteps, even in this particular workout, like the whole not taking questions and things like that. It's like, He kind of wants to be heard, but doesn't really want to engage. He wants to say what he's prepared, and that's it, and whatever, right? Like, I'm not here to judge, but well, I am a little bit, but
a little bit,
but I think this is a much bigger play again about the language in these CBAs. I think that this is a much bigger play about the fact that he has to show that he is capable of being, you know, hired as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, these are the things that he has to do. And so that's why he still did the workout. Because it would have been very easy, right, for him to turn into like this petulant, you know, angry athlete, right? And so I'm not doing this. But they know the moment he does that, they got him. And I think that there's no secret as to why the NFL sent a certain number of teams. And I believe that probably in their bylaws, they have language that distinguishes.
They have a minimum number or something?
They have a two-thirds. It's a two-thirds vote. Like, so I think out of the 32, it always has to be 24 teams. Mm. In order for them to change any rule, 24 teams have to approve it.
Okay.
So that's why I think that number is sort of in that same sweet spot, because
they did the minimum.
They did the bare minimum for what we need to do. And listen, do I think people, you know, went out there to just kind of go through the motions? Sure. They sent out a fucking second rate scout.
Mm-hmm.
And also too, I don't know what I'm watching. You know, I watched 45 seconds of that workout. I do not have the knowledge and the nuanced understanding to watch a man just throw a ball like that,
right,
to grasp whether or not he's capable. Now, I think he is.
But by all accounts, though, the people who went there, the ones who ended up going, nobody came back and said he wasn't ready.
Exactly.
Came back and said, nah, this nigga's trash. Nobody.
I would be hard-pressed for anyone to really – to legitimately lay out that there are 63 people better than Colin Kaepernick in the world at playing quarterback. There just isn't.
And so,
I mean, listen, aside from Colin, I mean, we've seen the outrage. And listen, this is a trigger. This is, like I've said before, you know, Black Rage is a content provider. And it is used as such. And we have to begin to stop engaging with the likes of the Whitlocks and those sorts of guys. I know people engage with him under the guise that they're fighting some sort of like wild injustice. Like, you're not changing his mind, okay?
At all.
And guys like Stephen A. Smith and guys like Marcellus Wiley. Marcellus Wiley is like, you can't tell me that nothing about the last 20 years of his life doesn't dictate to me that he has conservative views.
Right.
Absolutely not.
I mean, we're talking.
But niggas think just because he's from Compton. That's, he must be down.
Tim Brown. But also, but with Stephen A, and that's what I think everybody needs to remember. All this shit happened with Ali, all of it. But also with Stephen A, we've already seen how quick ESPN is to get motherfuckers up out of here for making too much noise on the wrong side. You know what I mean? So it's like, on a side note, Stephen A was on the same day that he was going off on Colin. He took a picture with like Sheriff Clark or something.
No. He took that picture a while ago.
People
just started posting it again to basically show you what he is.
Listen, Stephen A. Smith has said, he has definitely gone on the side of very misogynistic views.
Yep.
Very callous views, in my opinion. I think he's harsh. And again, in the same way we talked about T.I., he comes from a different generation.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't think he's as bright as he thinks he is.
Oh, 100%
He's wildly book smart. I mean, he's a fucking walking thesaurus, right? And God bless him for that. I mean, he's educated. I just don't think he's bright.
But he's like T.I. in that he does that shit where, like, he just talks over you, and he's a lot of big words. And you think he really know what he's talking about, but he's just not letting you get a word in. That's why
Stephen A. is a personality. He's not a thinking head, right?
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that Stephen A. screams, he yells, he says things that are provocative, right? He moves the needle. He really does.
Move he does. The needle he for absolutely them. Does.
And yes, and does. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
speaking of T.I., T.I. is going to be on the Red Table Talk on Monday.
Oh, really?
I'm watching the fuck out of that.
Deja deleted all her social media. She's gone. She just checked out. Like, it's too much for her. So, it's awful. But, yeah, I'm very curious to see what T.I. will say to Jade and them. Like I said, they're probably not going to change his mind. But I'm actually more interested to see what Willow is going to say. Because she's the same age. Like,
Wow.
That's crazy.
I also would love for Will to be at the table for this, too. Because I feel like T.I. is the type of dude who at a table with three women will be on some
whatever.
I don't think he'll do that to Jada. I think Jada has far more standing than that.
Like respect in the community. Right.
Far more standing than that. Yeah. But also, what I think is, I would be very pressed if he doesn't, not necessarily regret what he did or what he said.
I think he does.
But how he exposed his kid to, you know, the wolves of the internet, right?
Because what he hasn't done, which he always usually does, is like when some shit happens, he has no problem jumping on Twitter or whatever. Yes.
Or IG Live.
And clapping back. And he hasn't said anything because I feel like he's like, yeah.
Because
he's got to talk to Deja and hear in her voice or see in her eyes, hopefully we saw her face to face, what he did.
Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Deja's reaction alone would negate any kind of comeback.
Yeah, fuck niggas on Twitter. Your daughter deleted all her social media. Yeah, so
the fact that he's going on Red Table Talk is definitely calculated. That's definitely intentional. That's going to be the first place he talks about this. So I'm very curious.
In fairness too, I think that might be the only I don't want to, you know, for lack of a better term, it might be the only safe space for him to go into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would ever, I don't think there's another place.
They're not going to attack him. They're going to really
yes, have a conversation. Yes. They're going to want to have a conversation. And I'm sure that that conversation will begin before those cameras are rolling.
Oh, absolutely.
And well after those cameras stop rolling. There's going to be, you know,
Tiny's not even her mom, but I wonder if Tiny's going to be there. I don't know. I'll leave it to y'all because we got to wrap up in a minute. Do y'all want to talk about Rodney Reed? End with Rodney Reed? Do you want to end with the Thanksgiving do's and don'ts?
All I want to say about Rodney Reed, who has now been granted his stay of execution, is that Amanda Siles and Sean King have been arguing about this nigga yesterday. And I can't even pay attention because I hate both of them. Like... they both so ridiculous on so many different levels. But anyway, I think we talk about Thanksgiving do's and don'ts because we don't know if we're gonna see
talk about
next week.
So we're gonna.
But I want to start with you since you're hosting.
Okay.
What are your do's and we already talked about your menu last week. Your desire for an unconventional Thanksgiving menu.
Yes. I like, you know, a variety of foods. I just, you know, like I said, you know, we all black here, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, in black culture, especially during the holidays, there's certain foods that we've all probably eaten since we were infants, you know, in one form or another. You know, we know it's greens, we know it's mac and cheese, we know it's biscuits, we know it's, you know, turkey and yams. It's like, I got it, right? But like, we all, this is for me. I'll speak for me. I've eaten that shit so much over the years, so many times, and I understand that some of it should be looked upon as staples for the
You really just hate the familiar. That's the
mark. I'm like, yeah, let's do something different. Like, I did, like, oh my God, more yams? Really? Like, I'm good,
that's exactly why this nigga gonna be 73 at the Migos concert.
Exactly.
In a wheelchair. Push me up to the front. Hey, Quavo! I got the mixtape from 2003. I just want some different shit, man. Again, I understand they got to have some staples there. But, like, I don't mind, you know, flipping it around a little bit. That's me. That's just me. So we had that conversation. I mean, but besides that, man, I mean, you know, sadly, what happens as you get older is, you know, your family does start to shrink down. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a time when I was younger, like the 80 people thing. It might not have been 80, but having a whole house full of people and people coming in and out all the time constantly is not an exaggeration. And, you know, I really miss that, just that people just coming from all different spaces and walks of life and your friends and your uncle's friends and everybody coming in and out. So I do miss that. So, like, my thing is, like, door open. You know, I have a pretty dope policy. I invite as many people as I can. If you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't. It's fine. But I just like that. I like to have, especially Thanksgiving, which to me, it was actually my favorite holiday more than Christmas, because Christmas has that pressure of giving a gift.
Right.
Whereas Thanksgiving to me is just about family, friends, loved ones getting together, just being together. There's no nothing. So that's kind of like my version of Thanksgiving, you know. I hope I made.
Hey, sorry, Sean, you go next. Sorry, y'all, I'm on the phone with USPS. Go ahead.
Yeah, I you know, we do the big Thanksgiving, and I love my family dearly. And Jeff, you came last year, so you could see.
Yeah. You still got a nice crowd.
Like, I'm tired, man.
Yeah.
A nigga tired.
Yeah, man. that's the downside.
Because it's in fairness, man, it's like Thanksgiving is not really a one day thing for us. That's really like almost 3.5 days, right? Because there's basically like you hunker down and you dedicate a day to shopping. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Then you hunker
down. At least a day. At least more than one day.
I'm saying is, like, you've just dedicated that day to shopping. Now, that shopping day might be starting at 9. You might not be finishing until 3 or 4. Like,
Or later. Because it's going to be traffic. It's going to be lines in the store. Yeah. It's going to be...
So all of those things, right? And then, you know, you have the day before and you're doing all of the meal prep and all of the shit that comes with that. And we are big proponents of, we are cooking with love, right? So there's nothing, we don't want to do no box, nothing, you know, the red velvet is from scratch. You know what I'm saying? The turkey goes in the oven at like some ridiculous hour of the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, the mac and cheese and all. Yeah, like 4:30, 5 in the morning, dead ass, you know. And then you got, you know, all of the mac and cheese, all of the things that come with that, man. It's a labor of love. And just to be quite honest, man, after like doing this, because we moved into this house in 2004. And we might have had one or two at our previous house, man. So we're talking like,
that's a long time, bro.
Dude, like we're talking
that's
15 like
15 years.
Yeah, we're talking about like 16, 17
years. You hosted
years.
Every year, Sean?
Every
get
year.
The fuck.
So niggas just know they coming to your house.
If y'all say we not gonna have it, there's still gonna be like 8 niggas at your door.
If we say we not gonna have it,
it's
I would definitely
up.
Yeah. Like if not having Thanksgiving is still like 8 people.
Right.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we got...
Even
you know,
if it's just the core
like,
family.
Like, listen, it's
and mother-in-law and shit. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. The reality is that it's just, we you know, we have a fairly large family in that sense, right? Like, it's 4 of us. You know, my in-laws, it's 4 of them. My other in-laws, it's 4 of them. You know what I'm saying? We 16.
Right
there.
You
know there. What I'm saying? We got about 16 with just... immediate family.
Yeah, then you got
cousins. We're not even talking about wives and,
yeah,
and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It gets it,
neighbors it, it, and so, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it can blow up. Again, I love the day. I don't love the days before and I don't love the day after because
the cleanup.
Yeah, the cleanup and all of that shit and you know, listen, man, you know, we've been able to, you know, we're blessed. We've been able to afford to have some people come in and help us at times. You know what I'm saying? But people also want to spend time with their family.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
so and like cleaning up is still cleaning up shit.
Yeah. It's a lot of shit, man. That kind of, you know, you kind of want to come back downstairs and have your house the way it would normally be. And that's just not usually the case. But you know, it's fun time. I get to see, you know, my family. There's absolutely a lot of joy. There's a lot of good energy. So, you know, there's a few hours of the day where it feels all worth it. But a nigga be tired. And
yeah, no, like, that's a lot.
I've actually talked about sort of either winding this down or like somebody else has to do the
that's not picking up some slack.
It's just too, and let me be clear too, we don't do all of the food.
Yeah, people bring you.
We do.
But you do the turkeys.
We do the main stage.
We can't be gambling. We can't be fucking
around with the greens.
With the greens and niggas with these new mac and cheese with 8 different cheeses in it.
Yeah.
I don't want none of that.
None
of you niggas are allrecipe.com trying to make the dressing. Nah,
right.
we gonna do the shit that we know, so we good, and then you can bring something.
Right.
And if we like it,
add it in.
So, with that many people, because hosting in itself is exhausting. So with that many people coming, like I've been the quote unquote, even though I've never hosted at my apartment because it's too small, I've been the one of the main cookers for the past like 4 years or so. And that shit is a lot. It takes all the fun out of it when you got to be up all night doing that shit to me.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to do we eating dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because who the fuck is staying up all night with that bird? Like it's just too much because then you're tired. You don't even want to eat by the time the food is ready because you're tasting everything and you're hot because you got
you feel all nasty because you're hot.
Yeah, it's too
you need
much.
A shower.
And it's so many dishes, and it's so much. Also, I'm a person who I don't do.
Wait, so you don't wash as you cook?
I try to, but like,
but it's hard.
You
it's hard.
Can't. It's hard it's because hard. Especially if when you're doing like your mise en place, when you're doing your prep work, right? So like all them little bowls that you put.
Yeah, shit is all over the place.
You shredding all the cheese, like you create. So many, like, it's so many mixing bowls, and it's so many measuring cups, and it's milk and cheese. And
onions. But you know what's crazy? This year, for me, sidebar, one of my dudes, and I can't really get, you know, not do it, one of the dudes I grew up with, this nigga's getting married the next day.
Who does that?
This nigga got a deal on Black Friday.
Nigga, that's disrespectful.
He getting married on Black Friday. When he sent me the thing, I didn't, you know, he sent it back in like probably the summer. So I didn't really kind of calculate. I was like, wait a minute, the 29th? That's the day after?
Wild. Because even if you're not trying to shop on Black Friday, you're tired. You're fucking tired. From wherever you came from, from the food you ate, from the drinking. Like, even my family, we do a casual Thanksgiving. We don't dress up. We don't do none of that shit. And I still be tired on Friday. Like, I'm not. Because we up drinking and shit. Like,
So I got to deal with a wedding.
So, wait, Sean, do you have a rule? Or are you going to have a rule, Jeff, about people taking things to go? Because I know there was a thread, the Kitchenista on Twitter did a thread a few years ago, like, what's the most disrespectful experience you've had with somebody trying to take food to go? And there was all kind of stories about niggas straight, like, taking whole cakes, whole canned food, whatever. Do you guys have rules about to go?
I don't necessarily have many rules about to go because I want it out the house. Like, I don't want to have all that food left over, especially now because now I'm living alone. So, like, I don't need to have, like, half a turkey and a half a pan. I'm just going to go to waste. So, take as much as you can. But that's me. What's your thing, bro?
So, we have two refrigerators.
Oh, yeah.
Our downstairs refrigerator is where we take.
That's some black shit.
The downstairs refrigerator where we keep the cake and pies.
Yeah, used to be it's the back porch refrigerator of my grandma's house.
Same shit.
Not the freezer. We got the upright freezer.
You got the other freezer.
So
what we do is like toward the end of the night, what we do is sort of make sure that we've designated at least a leftover day. Right?
Okay. Right.
So we can kind of get that Friday. Like, honestly, by Saturday, we order in Chinese.
Yeah. It's like
we're not eating that shit again.
Yeah, I'm tired of turkey. Yeah.
That's what we do. We just sort of, you know, do it in a way where we put a separated, section aside for the family, you know, for us immediately to keep in the house. Mm-hmm. And then we let everybody have that. Like, I order to-go plates.
Right.
Yeah, I know you got those. You always had those styrofoam.
Yeah, I always either whether it's that. This year we got the little plastic joints from the meal preps. You know,
okay.
Like, all of that shit is like we definitely don't want to have a bunch of food sitting around
because by Monday you're throwing shit in the trash.
I think there's also like a spirit of just like. Like, don't come in my house with your own Tupperware, bro. Like, don't.
Yeah.
That's you know what I mean? Like
I know you're going to take shit home, but don't be like, acting like I'm,
and
I'm,
also
feeding,
too,
I'm feeding your family for the next week.
Yo, we've had, you know, we've had, like, my cousin, man.
That nigga there, man.
Is this the cousin that showed up with, like, an extra six people or something?
Nah, this is the nigga that ate the last of my pot roast back in 2008.
Still hot.
Hot. If his mama wasn't a saint, why jump on that nigga back? but you know, one time he came and, you know, like, dude was like, dude had like a whole pan of mac and cheese. Now granted, we make a lot of mac and cheese because
that's not the point.
That's my thing is, that's not really the point. Like, you didn't feel uncomfortable with that? Because you know, Mona, she's wildly generous. Like, she's never going to make anyone feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, she's never going to tell you can't have it or whatever.
Never. Yeah. Right? But, like, of course, I'm looking like, yo,
nigga.
Why is he walking out with a Whole Foods bag, my nigga? Like,
you
had a whole.
That nigga went grocery shopping.
Nigga, you usually leave out with, like, a Key Food bag, Target bag from under the sink. Give me a bag from under the sink. Sometimes nigga even got a bag.
A CVS bag, you know.
Sometimes nigga just got aluminum ball.
Yeah, exactly.
This nigga had a Whole Foods bag. I'm like, yo, what the fuck?
Nigga went grocery shopping.
Don't do that shit.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to do my best. I'm definitely going to be buying a few things. I'm going to get some cake from the Dominican bakery. I might get me a whole pan of empanadas.
Now, what are you cooking, though? What are you cooking?
I don't even know yet, B. My cousin's frying a turkey. I got to call my Aunt Penny, and she told me to tell her what to bring, so I got to hit her up and figure it out. I haven't quite figured out the menu yet.
You're late.
I know I'm dumb late, but I'm gonna do it this weekend. Is you know, I mean, you know, now we up in the Heights. I went to the supermarket yesterday, and it felt like it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving already.
No, it's already getting tight.
It's lit. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, they already cracking up here. They ain't even
cracking. It's yeah, real.
A week and a half away, they already popping. So, but I'm gonna get the menu together the next day or so and get it popping. You know, and we will definitely check back in with everybody and let everybody know how the Thanksgiving went. I'm sure it's gonna go fine. It always ends up working out. You know, it always ends up working out.
You're so confident. What time are you having dinner?
Much earlier than Penny, which is usually like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Niggas, you up to the last, you watching the last game, you still ain't eating. So I'm trying to do it like 3 or 4 at the latest. That's what I'm shooting for.
So what time do y'all eat?
We're a 5-6. We're like the smack dinner time, but we're prepared.
Okay. 6 o'clock.
So our shit is ready. But we give a specific time because I do the whole carve the turkey.
Oh, yeah. Say a prayer.
Yeah, I carve everyone's piece.
Oh, shit.
Got it.
Yeah, like, yeah. So I'm like, because, you know.
Such a dad.
You like the nigga in the Dr. Seuss thing, carving the fucking.
Yeah.
Here's a rule or whatever.
Yeah. Niggas is family, but they still be pulling me to say, hey, put the wing.
Exactly. Give me to the side. I just want dark meat. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah. Right.
And what time you eat, Nye?
Well, this year, I'm going to.
You going to Rabia's this year?
Well, first I'm going to Mr. Eric's, and then I'm going to Rabia's.
Okay.
So I don't know what time Mr. Eric's family, Eric's sister lives in Jersey.
Okay.
Which is where usually me and mom, unless we're at Rabia's, we split Thanksgiving up. So I have, for the past few years, I've gone to Greg's and she's gone to his sister's house.
Mm.
So this year I'm going to go out to his sister's house.
What part of Jersey? Is it way out of across the
Jersey? I don't know. Okay. I think it's like Central Jersey. So okay. I'm going to go there and then go to Rabia's. But we eat at Rabia's late because for two reasons. A, nobody had, like, we're a small family at this point, like a big but small, you know what I mean, like so nobody's pressed, and also like Rabia is a perfectionist when she cooks, so you gotta let everything
her
take
thing.
What time it takes,
you let her do her thing. Yeah,
which is also it's also fun, and but then we'd be up all night watching The Godfather and talking shit.
Yeah, and that's the best part of Thanksgiving, watching TV.
Yeah,
it's you perfect. Know and piece the
very low pressure.
I've got to say this too, piece the TV One and BT, because they're both of them networks got the Christmas movies coming up. And yes, I'm watching every last one of them. That's almost, it's a Jackie Harry, Kimberly Elise joint coming on. Might be this weekend.
Oh, Lord.
And I'm watching it. Yes,
oh, but
I'm
speaking of Thanksgiving releases, y'all go see Queen and Slim next
week. Oh, definitely. I'm definitely going to see that.
It is outstanding.
I can't wait to see
it. I don't give movie reviews on here often. I knew I was going to like it, but I had some reservations about the plot based on the early trailers. The later promos are given a little bit, are filling in context a little more. It's so fucking black. It's so fucking black. It's great. It's fantastic.
Hey, I can't wait to see it.
It's fantastic. Daniel Kaluuya, Kaluuya is quietly like a sniper out here with these roles. Like he's
dope.
Been killing it. Yeah.
He's dope. He's super
he's
dope.
Doing Fred Hampton next, which is going
to
be
oh, wow. Cool. Okay. Yeah. All right, so we're going to wrap it up on that note. We might not see you next week. You know, we might be able to sneak one in, but, you know, we know how that those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week is tight. So we wanted to get it done this week just in case we don't get through next week. And like I said, I got a wedding to go through Friday, so that's going to wrap that up.
That's so
– it's crazy.
I mean, he's your cousin and everything, but yo.
He's not my cousin. He's a guy I grew up with. But,
oh, he's – okay, still.
Yeah, so, all right, cool. So we'll see y'all next week.
We got the next.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.